Okay.
Wait, what happened?
Nigga, wait a minute. Hold up. Nigga, you gotta do something about that.
My hair?
You gotta do something about that. We know we don't talk about Jamil anymore. I can talk about you. So you gotta fix that situation.
I got the slave thing going on right now.
Yeah, you
nigga,
do.
You out here looking like a whole ass Frederick Douglass right now.
I know.
Nigga, it's crazy.
Barbara's supposed to be here Wednesday. Oh, that's tomorrow. Tomorrow.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, working the goddamn fields.
Or you could just go home.
Or that's also a
we'll take one thing at as we get to it. We'll take the barber first.
Okay.
Then we'll do the other thing.
Well, fantastic. We might have
him leaving.
he's in the land of snow bunnies.
He can't hear
what's
right.
up?
Huh? I'm gonna give him my headphones for when y'all wanna talk.
Why did this woman interrupt our conversation to tell
Nigga,
us that
I
she's...
will fight you. I'm not even going to tell you where you
are. I heard it.
You heard it?
Yeah. Interrupt the conversation to tell us she's not going to be part of the conversation.
We might have another special guest joining us in just a minute here as well. I got to figure out how the audio situation
going to work. Did you just see that the look that she gave you? Like, you didn't run this by me. Welcome to Edit That Out, where we always leave it in. I'm your host, Devin, and with me, as always, are my two favorite co-hosts. Let's start with the agitated, light-skinned portion of the pod. Let's go with Jamel. How are you doing on this wonderful Tuesday?
I am doing... Stop laughing. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
That wasn't very convincing, but I'll take it.
It's been a busy past, 4 hours.
Oh, okay. Right on. If it lasts past 4 hours, you're supposed to call a doctor.
Okay.
Okay, right on. But I'm doing fantastic. Glad you asked. Juwan, how are you doing?
I am fantastic as well. Thank you, sir. Glad you're doing well.
No racism to deal with today.
It's Alabama. It's every day.
We just got rid of DEI down here. So, so yeah, it is.
I don't know
Where's
what that means,
theme
but
music?
Who the fuck is that?
Where's my theme music?
Hi, Selena.
Play my theme music. We have to acknowledge her.
We always acknowledge Mrs. Juwan.
That was a reference.
I didn't recognize her voice. I was like, who the fuck? Okay.
The light skin came out quick.
Yeah, Devin was asking me, was there any racism today? And I said, well, we just got rid of DEI, but I was about to say, but we don't really have to worry about that because of affluency. So.
I will. You cannot hide it, man. Let's be nice.
You going to sit down?
Where you going?
Right here.
Oh, she joining?
Is this she's surprise? The guest.
Put on lipstick because I thought.
Oh, I like that even better.
You can't. They might not be able to.
I'm good.
It's okay. We know what that beautiful lady looks like.
I don't know if I can comment on that, but yes, we do.
I'm sure you can call her beautiful. It won't be.
I don't know. Juwan's kind of crazy when it comes to his.
That is very true.
This is what I'm gonna do.
You can't even hug his wife, which is wild.
Selena, this is Trey.
Hey, Trey. I see you every Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Also known as my best friend.
Heard that.
Yeah, see?
And true.
See? There we go.
Yes, my lovely wife, Selena, is here. What are we here for? A section just to kind of drop a little knowledge about yesterday's festivities because, she was a better sportscaster than I am. So, so let's go ahead and hop right into it. What are we here for?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, well, actually, we have another special guest that I'm going to pass as well. He's right here. Y'all already know him. And stop asking him back on the podcast, listeners. My shit. But either way, I'm going to go ahead and pass the sticks.
What's up, y'all?
Welcome, best friend. It's been too long. And her shit is your shit, which means you are welcome anytime. Just want to put that out there.
That's right.
Exactly.
Hers is mine and
Hers is mine and was my Little Rascal.
I like
shit.
That. I like Don't worry that. About it. I like that.
It was an alfalfa line. If you know, you know.
You know what's crazy about that? I was singing the Little Rascals today, the part where him and Darla are on stage together.
Oh, which song was that? Where, are you talking about the one that she did with Waldo?
Yeah, not Waldo. Yeah, you're not
okay. The L is for the way you look at me and all that.
Good yes, thing. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yes, I was thinking that. Yes, he's so oily.
Yep.
What are we here for?
Oh, we talking. We talking ball, huh?
So are you a women's basketball fan?
Absolutely.
Let's get it. So last night was the second part of the Elite Eight. If I'm wrong here, trying to set it up, and it was a big event because it was my white savior, Caitlin Clark, getting her revenge on these colorful Negroes that tried to embarrass her last season. And not only did she wreck them, but she wrecked them with sportsmanship and made that other poor little white girl just throw her hands up and like, what am I supposed to do here? I had a wonderful time last night. What say you two? I'll start with the woman because I am a feminist. Selena, you go ahead. Your thoughts on the game last night.
Well, you were right about Haley Van Lith, and she just threw her hands up. She had been baptized in the
the fire of Caitlin Clark. Yes, she was. But she was cleansed at the end.
She had been around the Baptist church too much because she was not living the life of Caitlin Clark.
That's what happens when you run into greatness. You'd be like, oh, shit.
What's crazy is Van Lith was brought to LSU through the transfer portal to play defense.
Yes, sir.
Really?
Smacked. Yeah.
That's her forte. Smacked. It didn't look like it. Yeah.
Well, it clearly wasn't offense. Did you see the three she was putting up? Sound like Atomic Bombs was dropping.
I did hear because, you know, I felt bad for this white girl that she was cooked for the whole game. And I heard that she was
slow
sick.
Instant pot.
Yes. Yeah, like, so she was under the weather. It was a flu game for her or something like that.
But she should have stayed.
She got air fried, though.
Oh, man.
It was awful. I feel sorry for her.
I don't, but.
We didn't. Why we didn't feel bad for this poor little white girl?
Because she's been starting on LSU and benefiting from her whole team's success the entire year after transferring, where she could have just stayed and been even better off as an individual player with a higher draft stock to get to the NBA, but wanted to go to LSU and basically ring chase.
I mean, but a lot of people ring chase nowadays. You know what I'm saying? Everybody can't see Caitlin Clark.
Yes, it's just a different dynamic in NCAA than it is in pro.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just trying to throw this girl some bail. Y'all shitting on her.
Like she shit on herself.
I'm
just narrating.
She's good for teams that are, you know, not going to the Elite Eight.
Okay.
So you know, she hadn't been totally trash all season. Otherwise, she would have been benched. But she was just no match for Caitlin Clark. They would have been better off with last year out there the whole time. Someone who had proven themselves against Caitlin Clark.
Now, I have a question. I am new to this women's college basketball and the landscape of it mattering. You know, even though I am a feminist, I was firm in the sport that, like, women's sports don't matter as a whole. But I'm a new fan and love it completely and want some more of it now. So going into this, LSU was clearly the better team, I take it.
Well, let me quote your half-white savior, Drake, and say the bandwagon's full, but you could try to run behind it.
Hey, well, I'm going to roll behind it, but that's another story. But
there's that.
Okay, but, yeah, I'm as long as you get
hey,
the bandwagon – in time, that's all that matters.
But no, I mean, it's an exciting time for the WNBA. It's an exciting time for women's college sports. It's been a long time coming because these girls have been hooping since.
I heard that. I did some mild research last night, and apparently, like I said, so this LSU team, was this the best team in the country or no?
No.
Are you not thinking that?
No.
So it's South Carolina.
It's South Carolina and then everybody else.
Correct.
Okay. Back in the day when I had white girl crushes, it was UConn. They were the top.
Yeah. And they're still here.
They're still here. Yeah, because there's going to be a fight next week. It's going to be
amazing.
Bad white girl on bad white girl.
Yeah, so
it's white crime.
I'm glad one of them
is bringing Jesus to the table, though. And that's going to change the game. Paige Becker is at UConn.
So I have a question now. Again, I'm new to this. She is. Okay. Now, she was apparently the best player before Caitlin came along. Am I?
Yes.
Yeah, she got hurt.
Understand that correctly? Right. And then Caitlin got the shine.
Yeah.
So I also hear that this wonderful white savior is an ally of the blacks.
She is.
So I'm conflicted.
Who's an ally of the blacks? Caitlin Clark?
No.
Well, I thought you were talking about Van Lith. No, Beckers.
Oh,
Beckers.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, when you play at UConn, you kind of don't have much of a choice. But I will say, historically, their best player has been white for quite some time.
Yeah, for like 20 years.
Well, yeah, that's the Sue Bird days, Diana Taurasi and them, right?
Yes. And Breonna Stewart.
And Rebecca Lobo.
That's the tall girl. I know her.
Yeah. But they've had a few of us.
And now, this is the confrontation between my white savior and Caitlin Clark and this wonderful other unicorn white girl, Paige. Who's gonna come out on top in you guys' opinion?
Caitlin Clark.
Yes,
I mean, it's Caitlin Clark until it's not. Yeah.
It might as well be. It's kind of like how you knew Kansas City was gonna win the Super Bowl because of Taylor Swift. So Caitlin Clark has all this shine. She has all this glow. She has one more thing to get. So you kind of have to play everybody in the stands and the team and the refs and the clock official and the clock.
So it's like a momentum thing that this can't be stopped. This avalanche is coming, and that is Caitlin Clark.
It can be stopped because of South Carolina. It absolutely can be stopped.
But they're on the other side of the bracket,
correct?
And
it probably will be stopped by South Carolina. But
yeah, they're not going to do that again.
We're talking about individual gameplay and one-on-one matchups. There's nobody you put on Caitlin Clark. You say, okay, she's going to go there and shut her down. That's not happening.
Right. So South Carolina would be in the – they would play the winner in the championship, correct?
They have their own play.
When they beat NC State, they're going to beat NC State.
They're
going to smack NC State. Okay.
Yes.
NC State is averaging like 72 points a game. Mm-hmm. South Carolina is averaging at least 86, maybe 87, 88, something like that.
On a bad day.
That's on a bad day.
I do want to ask both of you your feelings on the spotlight that has come to women's college sports, or just not even college sports, women's sports in general. The light that I don't want to be selfish and say it's all Caitlin, but a great deal of it has been. And do y'all credit her for the spotlight?
No, absolutely not.
Why not? Because
you have so many other athletes who have it.
That's you. You need to check your bias for a moment.
That's what I'm saying.
Before you answer that,
I don't want to say definitively no. Because, okay, here's my thing. Do I credit entirely? No. Do I give a lot of credit? Yes.
Yeah, because to be fair,
she's breaking every
This last year in basketball is what got us all watching basketball this year. Mm-hmm. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, the who is wrong or right for the John Cena is.
Caitlin did get her black ass up out of there. I'm glad they got that thug off the court last night with her. Her activities. I was like, get this thug out of here. For all your trolling, Devin,
the point that you're making is important because this is it's evolved from more than just a sports viewing entertainment thing to an all out race war.
Right. Absolutely. It's like boxing. Right.
It truly has. It's like boxing. It's like Larry Bird. All of those things where there's an inherent racial tension that exists. Mm-hmm. Where we, outside of you, are collectively saying, knock this white girl off of her fucking pedestal, please, so that we can have our sport back.
Let me ask you a question. Is there a pedestal?
We never gave y'all this sport to begin with. Y'all just took it and we're taking it back.
Is there a pedestal, or let me land, is this white savior just that good? And the new Steph Curry, and is a trendsetter, so more eyes are on this. Because again, I wasn't watching this shit, and now I'm like, oh shit, this white girl can hoop. I like what she. Not saying that there wasn't other white girls that could hoop, or any other players that didn't play well, like
we mentioned Diana
Taurasi.
I'm gonna let you land though. But that's my.
It's like it's something when you watch. When you watch Caitlyn, it's different. It hit different than to me, and I wouldn't call myself a general sports fan because I love everything but kickball and hockey. So I've
that's because you're a hoe.
Known stuff,
but we'll get to that.
How do you not watch kickball, Devin?
I mean,
that's because he's a hoe.
I'm an American grown man.
Hoes ain't got no manners.
Are you the honorary hoe in this group?
It's not honorary. It's like a dishonorable discharge.
That's a good question, but I feel like I can't answer because
you a hoe.
Sorry. I cannot watch. Kickball is boring to me. Whether it's American.
You should like baseball.
Football is boring.
I'm currently watching the Braves game right now. So yes, I love baseball. Baseball is interesting. There's a difference, but it's 0-0 right now. But anyway, my point being is that as a casual,
just stop right there.
She's great. She has a great jump shot. She has ranges out of this world. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, those are the things that you want to hear. But I do not buy into that. Oh, she's a generational player.
Yes, agreed.
Right.
Wait. How can y'all say that she's not when
you're the never only seen this before. Person on the team that can shoot, and they all go to you? Automatically, you're gonna have more points than everybody else.
Well, it's not now.
The ball's gonna go to her because she can put the ball in the hole better than anybody else.
That's right. So, if she's like the one go, if you have one go,
I don't want to say she's person. Not a generational talent because if she wasn't, then other people would be playing like her.
Right.
I don't know.
I
think the teams are better balanced in other teams. Like the stats, like you have role players, but you also have people who can play and shoot. Look at South Carolina, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Well, if Cardoso was the only person on her team who could shoot and get the ball in the basket, then she would be that generational player. But when you have a well-balanced, well-rounded team that cannot be defended because it doesn't matter who gets the ball or if it's off the bench or if it's a starter, you're going to get – You're balanced. You got more balance than
I struggle with that because of all the talent that's come out of UConn. Because you can say the same thing about them. They're balanced. They're complete, top to bottom. They've got squad depth. They've got players coming off of the bench that can keep not just maintain a lead, but can actually expand a lead. But then you also have your Diana Taurasi's, your Breonna Stewart's.
I'm saying Iowa is not balanced. They're the
opposite. Right. I know. But I'm saying. I struggle with discrediting her because her team is because she is that good on a team that's not. Because there are other players who are good that are on teams that are very, very good, but they still get a good amount of shine because they're that good. I mean, Diana Taurasi broke all WNBA records.
That's true.
And we knew she was going to do that coming out of college because she was that good. But she was also on a very well-balanced team with other players who were going to go to the league and be hot with that shit, too. So it's different, though. I think with her, it's just not a sexy brand of basketball. She's Pistol Pete. She's not Shamika Holtz Claw. You know?
Yeah, she's not Shamika at all.
So
I'm not a fan of coleslaw personally, but I do love some Kraft macaroni and cheese. But that's neither here nor there. My point
Thank you.
Is...
Thank you, Zion Williamson. I appreciate you.
I'm a fan.
Anyway,
my point is that like Caitlin, there's something even not being on a stacked team that even brings it out more is that she's carrying. He's like, hey, I'm carrying y'all on my back, but y'all ain't heavy, and I'm gonna take y'all to the championship. I like that. I like what this little white girl's doing. And yes, I am an Indiana Fever fan now because they're again.
Indiana Fever.
Okay,
Boston, and their first game is going to be against the New York Liberty. I already told Javon if I disappear for a few days.
Sabrina,
ago,
yeah, she gonna.
New York.
That's gonna make her work.
That's the other white girl that can shoot. She on the New York team, right?
Sabrina Ionescu. She's the one who competed with Steph in the All Star.
Yeah, I'm a fan of hers too. She's a little thick too, but
I don't like her, but it's okay.
Oh, Where she go to school?
I like her shoes. She got some dope shoes. I rock
some. Where does she go to school at? Do we not like her?
Oh, we like her. We like her because she's with the New York Liberty and she competed toe-to-toe with Steph Curry.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. She's like, Caitlin Clark is like this girl. And so we like her. Why can't we like Caitlin?
Oregon. That's right. She went to Oregon.
Because we want Dawn Staley and South Carolina Gamecocks to come out on top. That's why we're not for Caitlin.
Except for the fact that they waxed my Tar Heels.
We'll talk about that. So I don't subscribe to the fact of cheering for the fake USC, but I guess they're a good team. I've not watched a game of theirs this year. I couldn't tell you. I hear what y'all said that they are the best, but I hope Caitlin dismisses them too.
We know you do.
Yes. This is Juwan. Is this not the white savior that we've been looking for?
I have no dog in this fight.
Yeah, you get no help. You're not getting any help. None.
Wait,
you're in the wrong spot, bro.
I do want to ask you. So let me ask you a question. If Caitlin was on one of these other teams,
would she
still be shining the way she is?
Oh yes, absolutely. Because she's that good individually. Her bag is that deep that she could go anywhere and stunt. Because the fact of the matter is, people gotta like. They have to press her as soon as she steps half court.
Yeah, that white girl is right about that because she'll shoot it.
She will shoot and she will hit.
Mm-hmm.
So
it doesn't matter where she is on that court.
Like
I do. I have another question. So how do you guys feel about the offer of Ice Cube, the offer offering her $5 million
to play
the Big Three?
It's just Big Me.
She made it on the state farm.
Nigga, boom.
She's been out with State Farm and AT&T, Juju on AT&T, but
I'm not going to blame Ice Cube for being a capitalist as much as I blame him for being
a what? I didn't hear what you said.
A Trump apologist.
Oh, well, is he a fan?
He's I'll give him a chance. I'll hear him out. Mr. I'll never have dinner with the president wants to have dinner with the president all of a sudden.
Yeah, him, Snoop.
Look, both sides have points. We got to admit that.
Very fine people on both sides.
Yes. So you
opportunities,
gotta,
huh?
Right, uh-huh. You have to. But I see
opportunity. That, like, I'm an opportunist. You heard what I said. I'm an
opportunist. But there was a lot of people that was giving Ice Cube a lot of hate and that he was using her. So is it not a possibility of her playing in the Big Three? Do you guys not think?
I don't think she would risk her career on that.
But that's exactly what would happen. Is that
I didn't hear y'all.
I don't think she's willing to risk her career to play for Ice Cube for $3 million when this doesn't make sense.
She could get all that back on endorsements. She don't need to do that.
Like I said, she's made that on State Farm just for this. Her NIL is going to follow her.
Yes,
they're going to follow her. They're not going to.
It's going to blow up.
If anything, that's to me why she's generational, because she has changed what women's basketball value is
capable of. Yes, agreed.
That is why I believe she might be generational, not because she's a great player. Yes, she's breaking some records, but again, I still believe that if you're the best person on the team, you're going to get the ball, so your sets are going to be higher when you're with, you know, something adjacent to trash. But
no, you can say that for NC State.
Yeah, you're right.
You know what I'm saying? What's your name? Maya James?
Maya.
Isaiah James.
She's great, but she's the same kind of way.
She's not generational because she's only averaging 16 points.
Only, yeah.
She's not putting up 40 in the Elite Eight against the defending champions.
It's going to be so much fun.
And just ran it back.
She averages more than Brian?
Shut her down.
What?
It's going to be so fun to see South Carolina shut her down.
Yeah,
I don't think that's
I see she averages more than Brian, and
how much revenue she's bringing to women's sports. That the whole no one probably would have even been paying that much attention to her. She got more light because of Angel Reese last year, because of how they played and the dynamics with that. Had that not occurred, we probably would not be we wouldn't have cared to see Iowa, and we would not have seen Iowa LSU. We wouldn't have had to. We wanted to see who was going to come out on top.
if there's going to be any more trash talk and what antics were going to be played out. But
I mean, dare I say, once Angel and Caitlin go to the league, we're not going to want to hear much about LSU or Iowa after that, except for FloJ Johnson. That's my girl. I really hope that FloJ, she goes up too.
Yeah.
She can fucking ball. I love
she
her.
She can. And yeah, she's so young and so
yeah,
she has a long way to go. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's going to be around for a minute.
Yeah,
she's good. But let's go back to, let's not get off my white boo. So the fact is that, like, you can't make $5 million in 2 months anywhere, like, or not anywhere, but easily.
Yes, you can. So, if you're Caitlin Clark,
you can.
What I'm saying is,
I agree with that. Like, well, WNBA, look, it's not about how much merc your body can physically do, as long as
it's how marketable you are.
That part right there, she doesn't care. How much her body is going to do what she's paid to do during a WNBA season. She doesn't have to do more. She has already, she's done the more in college. Easy. The stuff going to follow her.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. My only point is that
you have to maybe put my business cap on now and start talking to you about the time.
But that's what I want to talk about. Like, if I have a client. And they tell me I can make $5 million in 2 months and not affect my personal career or endorsements, why not take that?
It could affect your personal career if you're playing in the Big Three and getting bodied by grown-ass men and you get injured.
I don't know. I don't watch the Big Three.
Big Three is not women's basketball.
The Big Three is retired NBA players.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've never watched it. So I'm just –
Let's put that in perspective. So, like – like,
so she's gonna be playing against all men.
Yes, yeah. She'll be playing against like Steven Jackson and Rasheed Lewis or Rashard Lewis and like niggas like that. Okay, they're picking her up as soon as she gets the ball. It's half court everything. There's no like starting from way back and being able to just like outrun these niggas. They are on you as soon as you touch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I understand that women and men don't play together. I do get that. My point is that, so are y'all saying the $5 million isn't working because she'll be embarrassed?
No,
she'll get injured. She'll get her ass beat.
It's
too physical.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. If there's any risk of her getting hurt, I have no basis of reference.
There is inherent risk of her getting hurt when you step onto a basketball court. But when you step onto a basketball court against 38 and 40-year-old niggas who don't really have anything else to lose because they've already got their bag at the NBA, and all they want to do is hoop.
Way more money than they did.
Way more.
Well, if there's any risk, I'm taking it as, like, they playing pickup. You know what I'm saying?
Nah,
like,
this ain't pickup.
I have football. I don't watch the Big Three. Couldn't tell you what channel
Devin, why would she take a deal that's gonna significantly decrease her visibility?
It wouldn't.
It's gonna bring attention to the big. It may bring attention to the Big Three, but I don't think it'll bring more attention necessarily to her. And also,
to me as a person,
it would benefit her is if the Big Three were Steph Curry, Anthony Hardaway. Michael Jordan. You know, some names that people really give a crap about. If she was playing LeBron, then
it would have to be like an exhibition. It can't be like money on the line. It can't be they playing for trophies or anything important. It would have to be literal pickup. We don't give a shit who wins or who loses.
So here's my point.
Yeah.
As someone who's never watched the Big Three, and only as a Caitlin Clark stan, point is the only reason I'm going to watch is because she's playing. So I think
that which is why play. Ice Cube wants to sign her because of
capital. Exactly. It's a smart play by Ice Cube, but it's a dumb play if she agrees.
Yes.
Okay. I didn't think she could get hurt. I've never seen it. So
if
she could, then I understand not playing. But my point was, like, if it's
I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, so sense. I wouldn't turn down $5 million.
Yeah.
Right.
But
Caitlin. When she does a dispatch of my new favorite white boo, Caitlin. What is it? Caitlin.
No, you're talking about Paige Beckers.
Paige, I'm sorry. Paige Beckers. When she disposes of her, then she gets South Carolina.
She gets Camila Cardoso in the final.
And she, yeah, when she disposes of South Carolina and gets them.
That's gonna be a match.
That's not gonna happen.
No, it's not.
Let me land.
No, it's not.
When she completes the journey to the mountaintop, will you guys give her flowers and say that she's the greatest college basketball player of all time?
Yeah.
Women's, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe even men.
No. Bill Walton is still far and away.
I need to see her as
part throw it down, of the big man. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What'd you say? She said,
I'd be happy. I will be glad to say that I'm happy that she's a part of Team USA for the Olympics in Paris. I would be glad to watch her.
I will be watching them too. Yep.
So if she wins that team,
whenever they pull it together, that's going to be fine. Yeah. So that's the All-Star game.
Amaya Moore. I was trying to say it without looking it up. That's who I was thinking of. It was the Black Queen.
Amaya Moore. 2000. Black Queen of UConn. McDonald's All-American.
Amaya Moore. Yes.
She was the dope.
Yes, I love her.
Yeah, if she wins this whole thing.
You keep going back to no one cares.
My question is, why don't you care, though? Is my question, because to me, I'm watching great. It's like Larry Bird at Indiana State playing against Magic Johnson. Like, why wouldn't you be willing to put her on that pedestal if she does complete this against?
I already have.
I'm saying I'm living in the present of greatness. Like, we don't think that she's great.
I do.
All of us?
I think she's great right now in college. She still has a lot to prove against others who have been very good. You made a very good point, though.
You call her Tebow. And I think that's
She's Tim Tebow.
Wait, hold on.
Do you think she's great?
That's Paige Beckers.
Wow.
I'm intentionally changing the subject.
Off of Caitlin Clark. I'm saying though, so would she be top five all time? Top five women's college basketball?
Yeah. Hell no. Yes. Okay, wrap this up, B, because you are equivocating right now. And you're trying to push the goalposts.
And we actually have work to do.
So I need you to stop moving this fucking goalpost right now.
You know what he's doing.
I just want y'all to know when my boo does it and she's on top. And we celebrating all the way to Indianapolis. I want y'all to know that I said it, that she's the greatest women's basketball player of all time.
South Carolina, come on and raise.
So I'm just letting y'all know.
It's coming.
We will revisit this next week when she's crowned.
I honestly want to see Dawn Staley versus Gino Auriemma in the final. I think that'd be amazing. Amazing basketball, tactical X's and O's in that game is gonna be stupid. That's what I want. That is
generational basketball.
Who cares about a has-been and a never-was when it comes to the fake USC?
My God,
we do not care about them.
I know you're not.
Okay, wrap it up. I'm coming back.
You defended me, Juwan. You don't talk about Dawn like that. No.
I don't know. I'm talking about. I'm talking about the sunset, the early morning.
No Diddy.
All I'm saying is we do not root for the fake USC. As a Florida fan, I can't root for the fake USC. I'm just sorry, I can't do it.
You're a Gators fan?
He has no other choice.
I mean, well, you don't get to see Shaq's daughter play for Florida Gators.
Of course. Why wouldn't she? I mean, of course. The orange and blue is where it's supposed to be at. You feel me?
No, I don't, honestly. But yeah, that's what she'll be.
I'm a Bears fan. And I don't feel you on that.
I mean, first off, as we've noticed that RG3 said that great Caleb Williams should even think about going to Chicago. So that tells you all you need to know about Chicago.
They suck as a franchise. I could have told you that. I got a Cutler Makes Me Drink shirt that I just took off. Yes, we suck as a staff, record label, and a motherfucking crew. Have been.
That's a rap baseball reference. Born. I got that.
It is. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Black man.
My point.
Said that.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know who said it, but it was something in the 90s.
Yeah, he was you know, alphanumeric, something like that.
Yeah, see, I'm out here. The point is, coming from someone who knows about poor professional franchises, I will not let
Trevor Lawrence.
Another white savior. Another white savior.
Yeah. Not Trevor Lawrence.
First off, I will not let. There will be no disrespecting of Sunshine on this podcast.
Trevor Lawrence is a bitch.
He is.
Juwan, are you gonna fire them? Fire them.
Trevor Lawrence is a bitch.
Oh my. Juwan, what are you doing here? You're not gonna stop this?
Trevor Lawrence will never win anything in the National Football League for his entire career, other than these nuts.
We're going to see. It's gonna be real funny when we play in London and things are going to be looking real.
Play in France. You can play in Rome.
We're gonna play the Bears in London this year. We're gonna see
Paris, Trevor. Tokyo. Let's go.
I'm just saying, probably gonna play in one of your little kickball fields.
I have been fired from my tenure here. Thank you for allowing me.
One more thing before you go.
What does Trevor's last name start with?
Don't do that. Before you go, just one more thing. I need you to acknowledge the greatness that is Caitlin Clark.
Excuse me?
Acknowledge her.
Hey, no, we're not. This is not WWE.
Oh, look, she got the reference. She got the reference. I
did. That's a Mania season.
That's why she my. Oh my God, yo. I'm the new best friend. I did hear your inter wrestling now.
Watching WrestleMania.
Watching?
That's what I'm saying. I was asking Juwan and Jamel if y'all are watching. So we're watching as a group and a.
I'm on board.
What's it called? Record label.
Heel version of The Rock is the best Rock ever.
Oh my God!
Oh, there's none better.
Think
about this. Like when the Attitude Era started, he was like the leader of NOD against D-Generation X. That was the best version that we saw of him. Yeah. Then he got nice and likable and shit. And yeah, all people looked forward to was him talking shit to people we already didn't like. That's easy. That's low hanging fruit.
I can't
Give
wait.
Me this
till...
nigga right here, the one who just beat Cody's ass out in the parking lot. Give me
right
now. All day.
Oh my God.
I want that.
Okay. We got work to do, Devin. So wrap this up.
Oh, okay. All I'm saying is,
y'all want to talk about Tyler Perry and shit? We got time.
Right. Saturday.
Y'all
want to
talk about Rick Grimes? We got time. Bars.
We will see. The final boss proved that he's the man and served Mama Rhodes that weight belt. And I am so excited about that. I am so ready.
Can't wait.
Oh, okay. Yes. I'm excited. Well, y'all took me on a roller coaster ride with my white savior, but y'all brought it back with the final boss. So I appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. I have two best friends now.
I want CM Punk to come out. That's what I want. That should be hilarious.
All right. I've been fired again. I've gotten my papers.
Don't worry. You'll be back next
Security
week.
Security is at the door. We're talking about they got to put me in jail. I got to go.
Next week, I need you to be back here to acknowledge Caitlin's greatness and the Rock's greatness.
I will be back to talk crap about how great Don Staley and the Gamecocks. And I'm from Alabama. I am Roll Tide. Eagle all day long.
Time out.
I am all about the Gamecocks WBB. I was also a Pat Summitt fan, not necessarily a Tennessee Volunteers fan.
Wait. So first
I
off,
love Pat.
You threw a lot
Pat
at
is
me.
Amazing.
First
that
off,
is amazing. That's everything.
Yes, like I like Alabama and Auburn.
That is a top five coach.
All right. You like the cheater that's Nick Saban. You like the kissing cousins of the Tennessee Volunteers. And then... You like the little brother of Alabama and Auburn at the same time who stole Cam Newton from the Gators? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, like anybody who could steal Cam Newton so I could get access to see him on regular TV all the time deserves a freaking Emmy. So
I don't know what to say. Like this is.
I have nothing for Alabama as a UNC fan right now. Absolutely nothing.
Okay. I mean, to be fair, you knew y'all were going to choke. That Baycott nigga is big.
No, it has nothing to do with Baycott. Had nothing to do with Baycott.
Y'all do.
Had nothing to do with Baycott.
Y'all don't win.
We lost. We lost by two points. And RJ Davis went 0 for 10 from 3.
Y'all. I gotta keep that man intact.
He makes one.
Juwan ain't been running shit this whole podcast.
We didn't lose to them. We lost to us.
Look, the point is, if you lost to Alabama, you don't deserve
it. We didn't lose to Alabama. We lost to ourselves.
Look, Alabama's trash. You know who destroyed them three times this year?
You should have.
Let me ask you a question. Who destroyed them three times this year?
I don't fucking
know. It's an easy question. Just think about it.
No, I'm not thinking about it because I don't know.
A team in the South, orange and blue.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's real specific. Team in the South.
Orange and blue, state of Florida, might be called Florida. You know, that's how we roll. We destroyed Alabama.
Still don't know who you're talking about.
Put a hundred on their head two times.
No.
Just saying.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the men's side of the bracket, but UConn is definitely winning that shit.
I don't know what that is, so I don't watch.
The University of Connecticut, who has taken a 30-point lead on every team they've played so far.
I don't acknowledge any team trying to go back-to-back because there's only one team that has done it in recent memory. You might know who they are.
Since 2007, yes, we know.
Okay.
We know.
Just wanted to. I don't know what you're talking
about. But they're about to do that shit because nobody else is beating them.
I don't see that happening.
They're not.
History is on my side, and I will not acknowledge anything that happens to erase Joe Kim Noah.
If history was on your side, we'd still have slavery.
I don't think slavery was a choice. I hate slavery.
Yes. And on that note, thank you very much. Kramer, appreciate you.
Oh, now you want to get rid of these people.
That was the biggest fuck you I've ever felt from Juwan in my life.
Right, what about when people need help?
Now fuck all y'all niggas. I want to talk about these fucking zombies. All right, I'm out.
See you next week on an update of Caitlin Clark in WrestleMania.
What just happened?
You got homework. Juwan fired y'all spouses.
You forgot your phone.
Why you fired them, Juwan? That's crazy.
I fired
him. What did you do?
He's fired. Fired.
Why?
That's what he did. Get their asses off the field. That's what Juwan said.
Oh my gosh. So, was it because he was talking about Alabama?
A little bit, but that's
I'm sure.
But that was our women's basketball sports segment, listeners. Thank you very
much. I will say, Juwan, I love your wife.
She's lovely.
Jamil,
did you notice that he had the camera off of her for like 20 minutes?
Yeah, that was kind of selfish.
That I had the camera off of her?
Yes. Yeah,
it was just on you.
We were just looking at you.
Oh, well, she was sitting right here. I was trying to get the audio, and you could have did this too.
Y'all don't need to look at her.
right. That's
I was trying to draw up my phone, so it probably just took her off a little bit. I do have one more thing. I'm going to make this very, very brief.
He's going to cut them off so he can talk.
So,
what you did there?
The Gerard Carmichael reality show. Jamel, did you watch that first episode, that full first episode?
I did not.
Have you watched any of it?
Uh-uh.
Okay. Well, here's my spoilers, because I do want to talk about this a little bit. So I did watch the first episode. It is intriguing. It's a lot of secondhand embarrassment in it. There's a lot of things that I wouldn't... Yeah, you would hate that. There's a lot of things that I definitely would not put on camera. You know, that he recently, you know, came out as gay last year, 2 years ago with Rothaniel, his last comedy.
I did not know that.
Yeah, his last
comedy. Gerard Carmichael, yeah, he's gay.
Yeah, so I guess he's putting on this thing as a sort of self-discovery. But here's the thing about this show. I don't give a fuck. It's not really the fact that he's gay and trying to find himself as a new gay black man and trying to figure his way out through that. The problem I have with this show is that he's a fucking whore. And that's the part of it that is kind of cringe to me about this. There's also, and Jamel, I know you've seen this because you saw it on my
time. I did see you talk about it.
There is a segment with Tyler, the Creator, that is, if you are a person that does suffer from secondhand embarrassment, just go into this show with this trigger warning. You will definitely feel all sorts of embarrassment, you know, for him and even for yourself, probably for watching that.
Damn.
So I'm not saying that it's a bad segment. I'm just saying.
Wait, are you slut shaming?
I'm slut shaming this nigga.
Nope.
I'm slut shaming this nigga. You know what? Also, I may get a lot of flack for this, but I'm going to keep it in.
Oh, God. That's what she said.
I think that it's...
That's what Michonne said.
I think that it's...
More on that later.
It also feels very performative gay. I mean, and I'm not a gay man, so I don't know what that journey is, you know, of discovery of your sexuality when you were suppressing it for so long. But nigga, I mean, you was gay, you've been gay for 6 months, and now you all with the feathers and the boas and the jumpsuits.
It's freeing.
I don't know. Yeah. It just feels like it's not him. Something just, but, and I'm not, but you know what? That's maybe my bias. So, but I'll keep it in. Anyway,
what are we really here
for? Dang,
such a communist. Wait,
I'm sorry. I'm talking over a woman.
No.
That part's okay.
A couple things. One, I'm all caught up on Shogun.
Good. I haven't watched episode 7 yet.
As soon as we finish this, I'm watching it. But okay. This is not going to be no long conversation or anything like that, but Netflix needs to just go bankrupt after that Good Times trailer.
You know what? I'm still on the fence. I think it's going to be different than what the trailer portrayed. I know that it has gotten a lot of flack because of the trailer.
Awful.
The trailer, I agree, the trailer is awful, and also it doesn't help that Seth MacFarlane's name is like front and center on
it's
it.
Mostly
but he's
white people's name.
No, they have five of the seven executive producers are black. And five of the seven, there's seven executive producers on the show. Five of them are black. It's created by a black woman. It was head written by a black man, Carl Baker, who wrote on the Boondocks.
Boondocks?
Yes. He has actually since exited the show, though, over creative differences. But this is, but for all intents and purposes, this is a black show. Seth MacFarlane is the biggest name as the executive producer. But
that trailer called me the N-word.
Yeah, so I'm still on the fence.
Devin, have you seen it?
I have no idea what y'all are talking about.
Devin, when we get off of this, I want you to check out the trailer for the new Good Times animated series.
Good Times. You just look up Good Times Netflix, and you will see
the old show Good Times.
They're remaking it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I never seen the old show, honestly.
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah, it was all right.
Which one is that one? The one with J.J. Walker?
Jackson? J.J.
Yes. Dynamite. That one.
Okay. That was a pull. I pulled that out of my ass.
But anyway, not that far. Right. What are we really here for?
Season 1, episode 6, The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, The Last Time. Mm-hmm. I did not get the writer. I think Scott Gimple actually did. Now I think about it because I saw it in the thing. I want to get y'all's overall thoughts on the possible finale or series end. We don't know yet. Juwan, I'll start with you.
Not necessarily again. I love this episode upon the first viewing. This was one, if we're talking about overall Walking Dead, this by far the best episode of The Walking Dead, I would say.
Is that what you're saying?
I would say of all time. I had a couple of little niggling issues with it, like, you know, a little bit of the over melodramatics in the acting, the kind of convenience of certain things. But, you know, but in the overarching story, I think it really stuck that landing. I do think that this is the end. It was a little bit too neat of a bow, but it gave me exactly what I wanted, what Jamel wanted, what I think the audience wanted at the end is for a reunion. I could have stood to use a lot more people, but, you know, it is what it is. He got to see his kids, and that was the greatest gift that I could have ever gotten.
Jamel, your thoughts?
I too thought it was wonderful. I loved it. It ended exactly how I wanted it to end. I just have one issue. Why did he leave the murder hand?
Nigga, I was thinking the same exact thing. I was thinking
I have a huge problem with that.
That could have came handy so much.
Yes, you're going back to Alexandria, and I'm sure you're going to have to fight a zombie here or there. Bring your murder hand. Like, yeah. Other than that, it was wonderful. I stood up and clapped.
Okay. I loved this episode. It was very emotional for your boy, allegedly. And let's just get right into it.
This show moves fast. So
right. There's not a lot to. It was a lot happened, but it's not a lot to talk about. But let's get into it. So we start off with where Rick's favorite spot, and that is inside of Michonne.
He is such a slutty little whore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
His thigh was out and everything, like, girl.
Oh yeah, he's like, I need you to know I am all into this. I am into this brown water and not this Johnny Walker. It is all Michonne's brown water that I'm drinking. And they're trying to set up their plan. And
oh, he put that ring on her finger mid-stroke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, she ain't going to say no to you. If you in there, that's a guarantee, yes, when you inside that leg.
And they started planning mid-stroke.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are we doing here?
I don't know if it's the same for women, but I know for men, if you feel like you've accomplished yourself in the bedroom, that's the perfect time to ask for something that you probably wouldn't get.
You know what? Is she gone?
My nigga! You're right. Like, there's been, I know, at least me personally, I don't want to speak for everybody, but there's times where you're like, I need to get this off, so I got to put in extra effort so that she's happy. So when I bring this up, she's not thinking of, oh, I had a shitty day or blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying, Juwan?
I know exactly what you're saying.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, they're planning their mission. And I'm like, let's see how this goes, because you know how I went into this. Somebody's dying, possibly the woman.
I was thinking about it the whole fucking time, because I was preparing to cuss you out.
I would not have come on this damn show. And I would have taken back every single compliment and flower that I gave you, like, in the weeks past.
I was expecting it. I really was. I was like, oh, man. So going into after this cold open, at least I was. I want to get you guys' temperature. When they say they're going back, were you guys nervous as I was? I was.
Not really nervous. I still wanted to see the action of it and what they were gonna do and how they were gonna do it. But I would say, because Michonne really wasn't in much danger, actually. I think Rick was in the most danger. But so I wasn't necessarily nervous for her, but I was still kind of like prepared for, like, you know, just...
I was kind of nervous. Yeah. I'm so sorry.
I was kind of prepared for, like, maybe this one big thing. You know how they do, and usually it's for penultimate episodes, but, like, that one final blow. That's kind of was like,
the Rosita
something
blow.
Might happen. Is that... Well, mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I was nervous that, like, the Echelon briefing, which was the world's hugest letdown, I thought the Echelon briefing was going to, like, bring Rick to, you know, be like, maybe I should stay. Like, you know what I mean?
I think that at first as well. Like,
granted, you know.
This might be necessary. So.
So we come back and we start off with Michonne sneaking in to the whole perimeter, I guess, the building. I don't know what it's called.
Yeah.
They had the kiss again.
One last kiss. I mean, let me get some of them soup coolers.
This is the most open, in the open, secret military base ever.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The way she brought up, she followed a walker or had a walker follow her. He's like, I hear something. And he goes to look at the walker. And she's like, yep, I climbed a tree. I'm in. Like, I was like, all right, that was easy. So she goes to Michael's, or what we call Jada's apartment, because there was all types of arts and crafts in this shit.
Did you notice the pictures, though?
Oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. She had Gabe on the wall.
Mm-hmm. I saw Gabriel at least twice.
Yeah, Gabriel was up there twice. She had a few of Thorne, the other, the general, whoever. She had
I'm
a
surprised couple of him. Rick Bill? Wasn't up there.
Right. Well, you can't get it. You can't get that off.
Well, like, she wanted like, him. She wanted to paint him naked though.
Absolutely. Paint me like one of your little girls.
I'm just saying, like, I would paint Rick and then like use that as your ex videos. I'm just be real. As much as she, as bad as she wanted to suck Rick's dick, I'm just saying.
Oh, you know she flicked the bean to Rick a lot.
Absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Draw a picture. Now you got a visual because
take a picture, it'll last longer.
Literally, literally, because Rick would rather die.
I mean, he said it.
What did Rick say, Juwan?
I would rather die.
Absolutely. Oh my God. So she's looking through. She went full Diddy on the feds on Diddy's house and turned over everything, you know, when they raided.
Yes.
She didn't have to cuff anybody. But she turns over, she's like, I can't find this shit. And then she looks at let me look at this ugly ass cat.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Did she kind of like recognize that? Was that like a piece, like something that's in the trash heap?
Season 7. Excuse me. In season 7, you saw her like sculpting a couple of cats, and Rick got one of the cats that she sculpted for Michonne because Michonne likes cat sculptures.
Okay. Good callback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we see a moment where her and Carl went to in that store, and she brought the cat out that one mm-hmm. time. Okay. When they were going, I think they were getting formula for Judith's.
Speaking of by the way, I remember the formula mission. But speaking of that, by the way, the flashbacks didn't really. Some of them were good, but I think it was
it seemed very final.
It was too excessive though with the flashbacks,
especially the eye shit.
Well, the neck biting out shit for me.
Well, yeah, I mean, soon as I saw that hand go, as soon as I saw the governor and I saw Michonne go for that little shard of glass, I was just like, okay, all right, I
forgot about that.
She finds the cat and sees the dossiers in there, and so it's detailed notes about Alexandria. She just ripped that shit up. She shredded it.
Yeah, that was kind of that was what I meant by a lot of the melodramatics, because you're gonna rip that shit up.
You just see her angrily ripping it up because obviously it was just like, and Alexandria has a leader and he's super sexy and his name is Rick, and I wanted to take him from Rick's wife, Michonne. Like all of that was in there. Mm-hmm, like, and I'm going to fuck Rick. And I'm going to take Rick from Rick's wife. I'm just like, okay.
Yeah. She laid it all out. And Michonne's like, now we're home free, but there's a knock on the door. We've been waiting for you. And
I like it.
She's like, Jadis, you in there? She's like, no, I'm not. She's like, all right, girl, I'm coming in. So she comes in. Michonne's like, well, damn, now I got to kill you. And so she chokes her out, kills her. Mm-hmm. I'm like, dang, Michonne.
Yeah, let's leave evidence. Let's see what your old bodies.
I mean, you got to kill. So they've established that they are killers.
And they said, are we crazy? Certifiable. Yes.
Right. Hey, that's what we do. That's what we do. You feel me? And she's like, I'll kill you, big daddy. Right. So Rick, you know, he's got to act like he was, you know, lost. So he comes to the gate and tells them, and now Navia is here. He's like, hey, boo, I missed you. She's like, missed you too. Mwah. And she's like, how did you survive? He's like, you know, that crazy girl I told you about, she pushed me out and saved me. Can you believe it? I'm glad you kept her. She's like, nigga, that was
don't pay attention to my big dick walk now, you know.
Right. She was like, that was totally, he's like, no, that was your idea. She's like, nigga, are you gaslighting me? He's like, I mean, no, absolutely not. Absolutely he was. She says, the general wants to meet you and you are getting briefed. And he's like, all right, let's take me to it. And then Thorne gives this look to Rick when he finishes his excuse of what happened, like she didn't believe it. Did y'all catch that or was that just
me? I did.
I did catch it.
She was going in on the whole cult shit, like, oh, and I see what we're doing and you have to give something up to for what we're doing and all this. And Rick is just like, I'm sorry, I still have Michonne's vagina on my breath. Yeah, sure.
It's on his beard.
He said, I'm going to go I don't know. My balls are kind of drained now, so I'm just right. gonna sit down. Like,
I can't even think straight right now. I got to do what? Oh, okay, right.
That's probably why she was looking at him like that.
He's like, nigga, you smell like. Let me sniff your dick. Like, hold on, let me wash it first.
Pause. Okay, listeners, real quick. We know that Thorne and Rick are just friends. Do but we? Jokes are better than facts. So y'all just gonna get these jokes off. Okay, time in.
All right. So Rick goes to the briefing and Beale's like, take off everything. And I'm like, where is this going?
It's just I would like, rather off. Die.
Right. Do it. Is this where Jadis gets it from? Is this a whole like rapey thing sex going cult? On here? Right. He's like, take off your hand. I was like, oh, right. So he's like, look, we're about to blow up Portland in less than 18 hours. Are you game? And Rick's like, I'm sorry, what?
Excuse me?
Right? He's like, yeah, we're about to kill everyone. We're about to be dead in 14 years or less. So yeah. Why so don't that we confused just kill me the first everybody? Time.
At first, I thought he meant like it was the other way around, that it was the walkers that they thought were going to be, you know, like petering out in 14 years. But basically, I realized he said it was the humans, the remaining humans were going to be petering out in 14 years, which that puts a time table on it. And also, you kind of noticed a lot of the things that he was talking about was being about like blowing up the cities, referencing Fear the Walking Dead, the first season, because everything after like the third, you know.
Didn't L.A. get bombed?
L.A. got bombed in the first season.
That's that's the only season
and
I
that's
watched.
The footage that they showed in this of the bombing. Mm. That was L.A. That was okay. L.A. getting bombed. Okay. Then there was some footage of the Daryl Dixon show where the walkers that were being experimented on, that's in the, I haven't watched it, but I know that's what happens in the Daryl Dixon show, where they're trying to find a cure and find someone that's immune in that show. And I think, and if I remember correctly, you know, and I apologize to the listeners for spoiling what I know about the Daryl Dixon show. I think that's...
Oh, I'm glad, because I haven't watched a single episode. Yeah,
I think that is the reason for the children that we'll get to in just a moment, because I believe the person that is immune in the Daryl Dixon show is a child. So I think there was some kind of connection with I think there's some kind of connection with why they were taking children. And
RJ might have a big part to play.
Yeah. So we'll see
on that in a second. So we get Rick turned into Pinky. He says, what we got to do today, Brian? And he says, the same thing we do every day, Pinky. Try and take over the world. And Rick's like, stab. And he jumps across the table to, he's like, no!
Swear on the sword. Yeah, like that was that, like to Juwan's point, so dramatic. Because he was just like giving this whole speech that said, we're going to kill everybody. You game? Awesome. Because you're going to run everything anyway.
Right. He's like,
yeah, he was just like, you tried to leave four times.
And you're back. Work.
And then you find, and then you left another time and you came back, bro. Okay, you have to, like, it's gonna be so great for optics. Like, can you be the leader? Okay, great, thanks. And you're gonna commit mass genocide,
right? He's like, I like the cut of your white jib and you could succeed me.
And Rick was just like, I have a black wife
that you do not know about. Speaking of black wife, Michonne's called to the orientation of killers.
Oh yeah,
and they're like, look, we're about to kill everybody in Portland except for about 100 kids. We're going to take them out and we're going to coddle them, but not really. They're going to hear a lot of death, but it'll be fine. Don't tell them that it'll be fine.
It will be.
Just say they're going to be fine.
Right. You know, one thing that I can respect about this, and because it would have been so easy to do it, especially for Scott Gimple, is that they did not make it a eugenics situation where we're only going to save the good little white children. Now, there was a bunch of blacks.
I thought about that. Beale was talking, he was just like, we're only picking a select So now we can regrow the world how we want to. That's kind of what I was picking up.
Blonde eyes or blue eyes.
Yeah. That was a bunch of Asians.
I was waiting for a Hitler was kind of right. I was waiting for him to say that. I'm just saying.
The little kid that Michonne gets up on, I thought favored RJ though. What did y'all think? Yeah. I was like, I saw the curly hair.
I saw the curly hair and the brown.
That's what set her off.
Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. So she's like, nah, we can't. We gotta kill
these niggas. Did they mention kids when Rick got the briefing?
No.
They didn't say anything about kids.
He said they have people in every community working.
Oh yeah.
Dispose of it, and there are ways that they have to tell them to bring it down, but he didn't mention the kids to Rick.
That was just the thing
to Michonne.
Here's something that kind of doesn't jive for me with that, because this is probably why they should have needed more episodes and possibly could have shown, like I said, Alexandria early on, because if Beal is saying, hey, we have operatives spread all over this continent in every community, then we could see somebody that's actually in Alexandria.
Who was in the hills?
Yeah.
Well, that's what we did see. That was Jadis.
Well, that was technically Jadis, and she eventually infiltrated Alexandria. She wasn't actually trying to infiltrate Alexandria. Mm-hmm. They brought her in to that shit. Mm-hmm. So
that we know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like that wiped out all of that. Like, we see that.
She was probably trying to get the saviors too. She probably has a file on the saviors.
Absolutely. I feel like that was how they tied it all together.
That's a
like,
good point, Jamil.
Jadis was the linchpin to all of that. That was who he was.
Okay, I guess we could chalk it up to that. I guess in that case, we can chalk it up to that. Go ahead.
Did you all think that Rick might have like changed his mind, because they did say that you can bring your family with you?
That was my next question. He says those people that you were trying to run to, they could be safe. And I thought, I'm like, I don't believe
and
it.
And he started talking about Carl too much though.
Mm.
I think Rick's murder face came back.
This nigga is crazy. I think Rick had already made his decision. Because he was like, right. Where is my killing knife?
Right. He definitely was looking like mass genocide.
The crazy part is, like, I don't know if it's just me, but when you know you're about to have like a crazy conversation with someone, you look for certain tells, obviously. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, obviously, we know how Rick feels. He's got the love of the black woman and them soup coolers on his mind. So he is not going anywhere. But I thought Rick's face was like, nigga, are you serious? The entire time. And Bill's just looking at him like, isn't this great?
Yeah, after Beal put the sword down, just like swear on the sword, and like Rick just didn't move, he was just like, oh, shit.
Right. Like, it took Beal a while to realize it. Like, come on, bro.
At first I watched it, I didn't pick up a whole bunch of stuff. I just knew I loved it. But the second time I watched it, right before we recorded, it flashed back to that. I was going to ask you one question, and I'm just going to look in your eye, and I know. And then when he did it here, and Rick was looking like, nigga, fuck you.
Right.
The whole time it's just like, look at my face. I am not amused by this bullshit.
He was just like, so what's the worst thing you ever had to, what did he say? He's like, what's the worst thing you ever had to kill somebody or something like that to save someone? Yeah, and it's just like, oh, let me tell you, mm-hmm. I had to rip a nigga's throat out to save my son. And like then I think when Beal was just like, well, where is he now? It was just like, ooh, don't talk about Carl, bro. Mm. Don't talk about Carl, bro. That's a sore spot.
It's a sore spot.
It's his firstborn.
Yeah, we come back. Actually, his. I mean, he's only got one other of those. You know, that's Shane's daughter. But we come back and they're fighting. And Bill's like, if you feel this way, why did you come back? And Rick's like, the perfect black woman made me. And he's like, I don't know what that means. He's
like, that's the problem.
Right. So he kills him dead.
The hand too.
I was like, is that a Easter reference?
Yeah, I don't like that.
I thought about it. It was Easter.
Right. It was Easter. Is this guy supposed to be Jesus? Like, what is happening? I got it, guys. I rose. But he did rise, just not in the way of Jesus. So he packs him up. He's like, let me stick you in this crate. Navia, I just got the briefing. Everything's great. I'll talk to you later. She's like, let's go
get lunch.
Right. She's like, you sure you don't want to talk about it now? Have sex? No, I'm good. We'll do it later. And so she's like, okay. He packs him in the crate. Michonne's like, I gotta find Rick, because she does a little radio.
Yeah, she was about to leave, and she was like,
she saw the teddy bear.
Well, she did that was first.
She saw that first. She didn't know what they were doing. That's when she went that meeting thing, and then they told her what we're gonna be doing with said teddy bears.
I thought that was after. Okay.
Yeah. So that's what they're gonna be doing with said teddy bears. And Rick is pushing this crate full of Beale down the elevator, another man's like, hey, hold that for me, bro. Let me catch that with you. And Rick's like, shit, I'm kind of full. He's like, nah, there's plenty of room in here, bro. He's like, all right. This is the most awkward elevator ride. And Rick's like, damn, the blood's dripping.
They should have just had, if they had had elevator music, that would have just.
That would have been hilarious.
It felt like it was the longest elevator ride ever, man.
Because I didn't understand where they were going, because I couldn't tell if they were going down or they were going up. So I couldn't tell, but I just, like you said, it was like the longest elevator ride. Awkward. These niggas just looking back and forth at each other.
You know what it made me think of? I don't know if you guys are a fan of one of my favorite Die Hard, my favorite Die Hard movie in Die Hard with a Vengeance, where he's in the elevator with the cops that he has to shoot, the fake cops he has to shoot him because he's got his friend's
badge on. We covered that, remember?
Yeah. Did we cover that? On the podcast.
Holy shit.
Look at you.
Right. I love that movie. I completely.
We know. Yeah. Yes.
That's crazy. I don't remember that at all. That is wild.
How high were you? I think you were the one that did the notes.
I love that movie. So it tracks. That's crazy. I don't remember that shit at all. I got to go back in our streaming and look at that.
Matter of fact, yes, because you said you didn't even need to write notes.
That's crazy. I love that movie. Anyway, yeah, that's what I thought of. Anyway, so Rick kills him viciously.
Rick had that murder face on.
Yeah, he killed him with the murder glove, they would have come in handy.
What?
Yeah. Oh, I get it, because, yeah. So I was like, damn, Rick, stop punching this nigga's face. He's like, all right, I guess so. So he's leaving, Michonne shows up, he's like, oh, damn, I got to kill somebody. He's like, wait, nigga, it's me! He's like, oh. That's what I felt. So yeah, it's like, come on now, I see the killer in your eyes.
When Rick gets sweaty, he gets murdery.
Right. And he's like, we gotta get out of here. And they're like, no, we can't. We gotta save him. So I got a question for y'all. If you got your significant other, y'all are out of here. Are y'all leaving or y'all going to save these other people?
With what's actually happening, because it doesn't matter if Beale's dead at this point. They've already the
plan's already set in motion.
Everything is already set in motion. So you have to actually go through with the plan, because they're eventually going to get. They're going to start at Portland, but they're eventually going to get to Alexandria, Alexandria in D.C. Which kind of
have a new op sent there too to infiltrate.
Exactly. So I think that, you know, you have to see it through. And maybe that was just kind of like pipe dreams to realize, hey, we can just leave. But there's nowhere.
Michonne had to see it, had to really see and understand for her to really. Yeah.
Right. And there's nowhere safe that they'll be able to go.
Mm-mm. Yeah, I was on the fence about that, but y'all were right.
But the tables turned, because Rick was just like, bro, I just kind of want to go. But then again, he didn't know about the kids part.
Right, he doesn't. Yeah. So we come back
and Michonne kiss again, bro.
I mean, you got to. I mean, what is he supposed to do at this point? He's addicted. So Michonne is making a bomb, and Rick's like, this is when he asks if she should leave. Like, no. And Rick, that's when Michonne kisses him, and like, he's like, you know what? I'm back on track. And he's like, where'd you learn how to make this? She's like, from my little homie. What was his name? Nat. Yeah. That came in handy. They've set up the bombs and tied them to the two, the general and the red shirt. And they're running out of here, and we're like, we did it. And Navia is like, surprise, motherfuckers.
First of all, why was Navia like following and going into Rick's room and shit?
She's comfortable doing it.
She had
had the key and everything.
Yeah, she had a
realization that she was a side bitch. Like she was like, wait a minute. This nigga only comes to me on certain days of the middle of the week.
Love didn't bring his ass home last night.
Right. This nigga never lets me hold his phone. I never met his family. And then I'm the side bitch. And then he's like, oh, hell no. He's like, I vouched for this bitch. He drove her in my car. That was like, it was so funny watching her like work it out of her mind. Like, yes.
Yeah.
It was
she so played funny. It well because she like, motherfucker.
Right. I know what you're doing, Grimes. I know what you're doing.
Oh my God. Don't do that accident.
Was that her voice? I don't know. I thought I was close.
I mean,
whatever you did.
That does sound like a South African accent. Well, let me not say that. I'm not trying to get, emails. No.
Beautiful
people. She's a bleak. She called Michonne a bleak.
Can we say that?
A Nakata.
Can we say that?
I don't know.
I feel like that's racist.
I'm not taking it
she
out.
She definitely was just like, this Ofay had a black wife this whole time.
He set me up. I can't believe it. She was so hype. Oh, man.
I could have been smashed.
Right. So she confronts them, but as we see, they turn around and start holding hands. She was like, then you going to flaunt it in my fucking face.
Yeah, that was a little... that was a bridge. That was too far.
They like, die! Like,
I ain't never liked your ass, bro.
Right. And the bomb goes off. And they dive under like some tarp or some shit with water running on them.
Yeah, which was smart.
Yeah. And my question is on this explosion. So how did they not blow up?
Because of the tarp.
I mean, it wasn't the explosion exploded the gas containers. So it was the gas containers that exploded. So it wasn't like fire.
It was chlorine gas, but maybe enough of it causes an explosion.
If you remember, they showed a big explosion where
that was, but it wasn't fire. It was gas.
Oh, that wasn't fire. So how did all those soldiers die immediately?
Because of the gas.
Because of that gas. It's just like what she went through trying to get to Rick.
It killed them. I thought it just poisoned them. I didn't think it killed all of their
people except for King Batch, the pregnant girl, and Nat. And then they eventually succumbed.
That's what I was confused at, because I was watching with my homegirl Sam, and she was like, "Are they dead?" I thought they were dead too.
Now, what confused me or what was very convenient is Thorn, like, because like, how did she get that mask on so quickly when it happened right in her face?
Yeah.
Plot.
So,
convenience.
Yeah. So
can I ask a question? Just a little aside. What did you guys think of them like intercutting back to Michonne and Rick smashing and having meaningful conversations like every 5 minutes?
I mean, it's just even though this was 6 episodes, it was like, oh, hat, we've got to show these motherfuckers kissing every five fucking minutes. I mean, can you stick to a fucking plan without sticking your tongues down each other's throats for 5 fucking seconds, please?
They're horny.
And then, they're making up for lost time, but Rick was just like, oh, I missed you so much. Words can't even say how much I missed you. And Michonne was just like, you came like a civil rights hose. I know how much you missed me. Like, that's fine. Like,
It was Jamil, like, come out and come back in. You're
a scary movie.
Oh, there you go. Never mind. I was going to say you come out, come back in. You were kind of robot a little bit.
It was just like, no, no. Rick was like a fucking scary movie. That scene is scary movie.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that was Rick.
Oh Lord. In the ceiling.
Yes. Yes. Welcome to the conversation.
I'm sorry. I'm sitting up on the
back. I'm just joking.
So we get Rick tells Michonne, like, look, you go this way. I'm going to take out Navia. She's like, why you? He's like, you got the sword. You got to get the mask. I'll take her down. So they start fighting, and Rick is immediately swarmed by like 1,000 walkers. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh, shit. They're going to kill Rick. I'm like, he's not going to get to see the baby. And Michonne and Navia battle for Rick's dick or his love, whichever one you want to take it for. And
well, she was just like, love doesn't happen now, okay? I was just trying to fuck and he, and Michonne was just like, oh no, we are still fully in love, bitch.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She's like, you're the one that he's been doing this to me for.
This is that, like, silly, this is that silly dialogue.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Yes. She's like, I can't believe I was the side girl for you. I trusted him. And Michonne's like, well, love brought him home that night. And
I feel like Danai Gurira was channeling Viola Davis.
I can see that.
Honestly, they need to do a movie together as sisters.
Because
mm-hmm. they kind of look alike.
I can see that. I can definitely see that.
They should do a movie together.
Well, mm-hmm. Michonne says, love always wins. And Thorne's like, and she stabs her. Stab.
Mm-hmm.
And then another big grenade goes off. And
now,
like,
this is where I thought he would have died.
I'm like,
oh, because he pulled the pin.
Because he pulled the pin on one of the grenades, but he ducked.
I'm like, mm-hmm. this nigga killed himself. And I'm like, oh my God. So y'all thought he was gone?
Well, you saw how Michonne looked. Michonne was just like, no, this nigga didn't do this shit again. Like, right. That's how she was looking. Like, I will fight him if he did this shit again.
So we come back and Rick is alive. I'm like, thank God. This is one thing I do not miss. If we go back to the OG of like the PF days, watching a group along and like just the finales always seem to have the longest and most commercials ever.
Oh yeah.
And I'm just like, nigga, this is why I don't watch TV live.
I watched on the AMC app.
Oh,
pay us, AMC.
Yeah, please, because we were advertised. Because
we'll watch the entire Walking Dead if y'all pay us.
Right.
You know what? I meant to say this earlier, and I would never fucking do this because I don't know what the fuck I was thinking. But this finale made me want to go back and start it from the beginning.
Ooh.
It did.
That's
it really,
good luck. Good
that's
luck
a lot of fucking time.
Good luck with that.
Go
ahead. I said the cat. All right. where are we at? So Navia says, I do believe in love. I shouldn't have gave up, but I'm giving up now. Here. And so she gives Rick her mask.
Shortest redemption arc ever.
Right. And Rick's like, I don't really need the shit now, but okay. It's really
right. Like, why didn't you get that like a minute ago? Like, as soon as Michonne killed Navia, I would have been like, give me that fucking mask. Like,
right, right.
Why are you waiting?
So they fight through the remnants of the walkers, get on top of the thing, and jump out. We go to commercial.
We hear the montage. Is this when did y'all have the montage of the fallout of what happened on the base
during
this? Okay, so
the radio
or something like that. Yeah, the radio with saying that the CRM or the CRM forces rather were doing this under the guise of secrecy, and that the major CRM was not involved in this.
Right.
So
right.
I do.
Yeah,
think
Beale just went rogue.
Beale was being rogue, and I do think that again, I felt like this should have been like not me advocating for longer seasons, but I do think this should have been maybe 10 episodes instead of 6.
Absolutely.
Where they could have kind of expanded it a little bit more so we can at least see, we can kind of see leadership within the CRM. also Alexandria. But
because I have a feeling that like Rick and Michonne are probably now in charge of that unit. Like something tells me that the higher ups were, because they got a personal, they got a PJ headed home.
Right.
Yeah.
They took the PJ.
Exactly.
Yeah, they really did. So
I want to get to at the end. When we get to the end, there is actually one thing that kind of irked me. Well, it irked me for a while until I figured it out that it actually didn't happen, but I'll still mention it at the end.
Okay. So, yeah, so we do get the announcement that everything, people can leave again, they're free, and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. And I want Jamel to take over and see what did Michonne say?
Wait, what? I'll burn the city to the ground?
No. She put on the walkie-talkie to somebody. What did she
say? Oh. Wait, set me up again. Edit all right. This out. Set me up again.
So we come back, and they're on the private jet, and we go to Michonne, and she has a message for somebody. What did she say?
Shoto. It's Daito.
Yes. And we get Shane's daughter running through a field. With RJ, and then get off. We see Michonne got a whole. She went shopping because she got all new threads.
Right.
Rick clean. He got them old ass boots on though. Gross. but whatever. They get off the plane and Michonne.
Oh yeah, she did get him his boots back.
Yep. He gave her a sword, which they found her regular sword too.
Yeah. So. No, it was Beale's sword.
Initially, but when she gets back to Alexandria, she has her OG sword somehow.
Oh, she probably went back to her room or something like that.
Went back and got it.
Yeah, so...
the katana?
Yep. So, and Michonne embraces Judith her and babies. RJ. And we see Rick standing in the background. And
he looks so nervous, bless his heart.
Because his hands was shaking when his hand was shaking. Yeah. When he got on the plane. Yeah. And you know, and that's so funny. You know, you stand a father standing in the background not knowing what to do. You don't know if you need to jump in, you don't want to scare him, you know. So let me ask y'all a question.
8 years.
He ain't never seen anything.
So Jenna. I'm not Jenna. What the fuck am I? You know why I say that? Jenna Ortega's on the screen. Oh. So,
this guy.
So,
Distractions,
yes. So, Judah.
The Braves just lost, so that's another distraction.
Oh, yes.
Judah, okay, well, she, when Rick, quote unquote, died, Judah, she would have been with, like,
She was like two or three.
Okay, so she would have been maybe here. You would have met like what, 11, 12, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Okay, and RJ would have been around with eight.
They said. Michonne said he's about to turn 8.
Judith looked he's like 12 or like 6, like 13, okay. 14. She looked like
she's well, you know, growth spurts. She did look she did look older.
It's the same actress too. So.
I thought so. I didn't know for sure. But
it's definitely the same actress. I was just wondering about the time. I was just wondering about the timeline.
So RJ says,
Judith, man.
Are you the brave man? And Rick says, I am. Let's just say you can call me dad, and I started crying.
That's when I got up and clapped.
Yeah, I did. Clapped. I got a little emotional.
I was like, fuck. Yeah, that's me. I'm crying right now.
He shed a tear too.
Yeah. I was like, God damn. Y'all did it.
Beautiful.
Y'all made it back and nobody died. So I was in happy bliss. Your guys' thoughts on the reunion of RJ and Rick.
Absolutely loved it. I absolutely, you know, love the reunion to see this family back together. That's of course, and you know, I have my little niggling feelings about not seeing more of the community or more Alexandria. But again, like I said in the beginning, I think that this show was just about the family connection, absolutely, the love, the bond that they shared together. And I'm happy that, you know, we kind of got a good finality to this universe, at least within the family structure of Rick, Michonne,
that they ended on a very, very on a happy note. You know, The Walking Dead as a franchise is still going on. We have Daryl Dixon. I would like to see whatever the second season of Daryl Dixon, if he gets to come back to America with Carol and they reunite with Rick, you know, kind of like make it full circle.
And I did notice that, like, well, somebody said this because I guess on the Daryl show, he has a walkie and he can talk to Carol, right?
I believe so, but I think the second I think she loses contact with him. Well, and I think that's why she's going there.
Okay, so what I saw was like her talking to him on the walkie, and then it started to kind of cut out, and she said, such and such are back.
Okay, that makes sense.
And Daryl was just like, wait, who's back?
Because, okay.
This is probably who they're talking about.
Oh.
Okay, I might want to watch the Daryl show. Like I said, I gave up on Fear, but I think I'm going to go back.
I'm just reading. Yeah.
I'm going to go back and watch that Daryl show. I'm probably not going to watch Negan and Maggie because I don't think they were very interesting. After
I don't know if they fuck or not. So I didn't
I'm about to say, they have too much chemistry.
They do, but that's Jeffrey Dean Morgan. That's just Jeffrey
Everybody got chemistry with him?
Yeah, everybody has chemistry with Jeffrey Dean Morgan.
I just need to know if Maggie trash or not.
So,
she sleep with niggas, she trash.
I mean, no, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, it's like, I get it, but don't.
For the streets, right. Like you just said, if she sleep with Negan. Yeah. Plus, he got a black wife.
He got a black wife. Yeah, that's true. He can't treat that black woman. I don't think Jamil got to say her final thoughts, though.
No, man, I loved this reunion. It's everything that I wanted. They need a better actor for RJ, though, because that little boy was wooden as hell. I always knew you'd come back. Wow, I believed. And he just looked like, the whole time he was just like, my mom said I had to be here and that right, we would get a payday if I did this, so.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Y'all better have a Lunchable in the back offset.
Right?
Because
where's catering?
I'm just saying, what did he have to watch or something? Like, did he have a show to watch that day or something? Like,
so do y'all think there'll be season two?
Probably. They ended it the perfect way. Even with the other jets flying overhead with supplies. Mm-hmm. So like that could have legit just been the end.
Right.
But it's a possibility that y'all think that I don't think
there's a season two of The Ones Who Live. I think that story is done. I do think it could tie in to Daryl Dixon. Isn't it? Maybe if they do some kind of other spinoff in the future. And this is why I wanted to saving this thing to the end. I could have sworn at the very end of The Walking Dead proper that there was a scene with some walkers about to attack somebody and they get rescued by a woman, a black guy, and another woman. And that the main woman says, okay, you're safe now. We can invite you back to my community. My name is Judith. And I could have sworn that happened at the very, very end of the main Walking Dead show. But I guess I had a Mandela effect on myself because that actually never happened. Oh. However, there was a still shot of older Judith, an older RJ, and an older Gracie. And it was a still shot.
Who the fuck is Gracie? But
yeah, Aaron's daughter.
There
was a still of them. And they did film an alternate ending of RJ
and Judith and them riding to save other people or try to bring communities together. So, and I remember hearing that, and I just found it again on a YouTube video. So my point is, they could do a season two or continue or maybe another spinoff and maybe set it years ahead and make it about Judith and RJ.
They can do that. Just let them take over.
Yeah, maybe, and maybe get away from the franchise. I bet I would imagine maybe 10 years we've gotten away from the franchise proper. Somebody will come back and say, hey, what other IP can we go back and do? The Walking Dead? Hey, this character will be about 25 years old now. We can bring this back. So
would you guys change anything to the season as a whole?
I would have made it longer. I would have added 4 more episodes.
Kept his murder hand.
Yes, he would have definitely kept the murder hand. Like I said, I would have shown Alexandria at least something in Alexandria. And also make it 4 more episodes so we can kind of like flesh that out.
Y'all have any other final thoughts before we get into feedback?
No, I think I'm good.
Emma?
All right. So shout out to my boo Sam. Hey boo.
Hey girl.
Right. She wrote in. She says, overall, I liked it. I really thought Rick was going to change his mind and stay, but after hearing what the plan was, I knew he wouldn't. So he was on the way you were thinking, Jamel. Was on that. The ending wasn't bad. I wish there would have been there to see him when he got back. I wish all of them would have been there to see them when he got back. Mm-hmm. I would have liked the surprise of them two walking up on them. I'm happy with what happened to the CRM. I would love a season 2, but I'm doubtful that we get it. Mm. So that was all her feedback. Thank you, Sam. Love you, Sam.
Thank you very much, girl.
So that's it.
That's it. No problem. So, so this has been fun. Like, thank you again.
You're welcome. Devin.
Thank you again, Devin, for convincing us to watch this show. Because honestly, I probably wasn't gonna watch it right away. Had you not pitched it for us to do.
It got us through.
And completely changing the trajectory of what
all
I
right,
wanted.
Right now
to
we got BMF. It's great.
Oh, nigga.
All right, where can we find people?
You don't want to cover fake me.
You can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Jamel Mybelle. That is JamelleMybelle. Look at you. You were quiet for that.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't talk through that. I was like, you don't want to cover fake Tupac? All right. You can find me on Twitter at Devin Lamar.
With 2 R's.
Talk about it.
And you can find me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at JTD. That is JAYTEEDEE. Thank you very much for listening and for listening to our coverage of The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Reunite. We appreciate every single last one of you. We will talk to you, come back next week with maybe either a movie review or we might do an impromptu show watch. Jamel has yet to watch Power. Maybe she will watch it since it is the final season in a couple of months. It. But we will definitely do something.
Maybe Shogun, the end of Shogun.
That is too dense.
That's too dense. Japanese Game of Thrones.
I got y'all on it.
that is Japanese Game of Thrones. I mean, we could try, but
listeners, I don't want to take the notes.
Let us
for
know.
It.
Yeah,
it's hard.
That's
it's a lot of reading. Yeah. You gotta talk about it. Like, oh shit, let's do this.
Maybe we can do a recap.
Maybe so. We'll figure it out. Recap. But thank you very much for listening. We appreciate every single last one of you, and we will talk to you next week.
Or X-Men 97.
Maybe.
That's easy.
We'll figure it out. All right. Thank you.
Farewell.
Peace.
All right. I'm like,
bye.
What's it called?
Okay, I'm watching Shogun now. I'll see y'all later. Bye.
Caitlin Clark. I need you drug tested immediately. Because what you did to LSU tonight don't make no sense. You was shooting the skin off that ball. ain't never watched a basketball game, and every time the ball, she throw the ball up, I think she gonna make it. She was shooting that thing from the locker room. I just knew it was gonna go in. I was more shocked when she missed it than when she made it. She gave them girls 41 and 12. 41 and 12. She was shooting that bitch from the airport. It was going in. She is the greatest female basketball player the world has ever seen. Y'all better stop playing with this girl. This is Larry Bird's stepdaughter, Steph Curry's second cousin, twice removed. She might be the greatest shooter I've ever seen in my life.
Motherfuck the big three. Nigga, it's just big me. Nigga, bum.